Thank the Lord for the singing this morning, for the touch of God. Brother Danny and Miss Regina and the congregational singing. And thank you so much, Miss Jennifer, for playing this morning. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Philippians. I'm doing a letter. Vicki's doing a letter for me to all of our Highway Shepherd supporters. And in it, I stated that very sadly, we're not going to try to do our Highway Shepherd Christmas Eve outreach. And it just troubled me so. And Becky and I have talked about different things, and me and Miss Regina and Trudy about different ways we could do it. Don't see any way we could all gather together, but I think what we might do, you pray about this. I need to talk to Chris, and I'm going to do some checking myself. At least the local truck stops up towards Dunn and down towards Smithfield, I'd like to see if we might could get our bags made and take them and have them displayed or somewhere where they could just pick them up themselves rather than interaction, everybody going around and handing them out. We don't know if people would be real leery about taking them or if they would take them from an individual. So that's the thing. But my thought is that every year there are truckers who have a regular route and workers in these restaurants and all up and down at the interstate truck stops that look forward every year to Benson Grove and the Highway Shepherd bringing them a goodie bag. And I just hate to break that tradition. So I'm thinking what we might do is I'll make the bags available and ask you, just like shoe boxes, that you fill your own bag, write out a little Christmas card. You can sign your name. I wouldn't put any phone numbers, anything like that, but just a little Christmas card and make up the bags and we'll have them brought in. And get Chris and Lynetta and some other maybe help me to find out if the truck stops would allow us to do that even this year, to come and make them available just for people to pick up. And I'm certain we'll be able to reach some people like that. But pray about that. Philippians chapter 1. The first message I brought this month was on thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. First and foremost, you and I ought to be thankful for Jesus. He loved us and died for us, and He gave His life for us that we might have everlasting life. And I hope that maybe in these last couple of weeks you've been especially thanking God the Father for giving His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then on last Wednesday night, I preached to you from the book of Psalms as well about this God is our God. And David was glorifying God and thanking Him that He was his God even unto death, or God even unto death. And so we ought to thank God the Father for how good God's been to us. He's the good God, the great God, and He's been so good to us. As I was thinking back through the book of Romans through the week, when Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, begins to talk about lost people, unregenerated people, and about all the wickedness in their life and how they don't glorify God. They worship the creation more than the Creator. So, and he makes one little statement in there that the Holy Ghost of God gave him, and neither were they thankful. And that struck me a few years ago during this time of the year when I was thinking about that God looked at these people of all the gross sin that they have done. You can only imagine what God sees. You and I see the tip of the iceberg of the wickedness in our land and other places. But God sees everything. But out of all the wickedness that they did, He made special mention of this, and neither were they thankful. Because you see, God makes it rain on the just and the unjust. God blesses people where they're saved or lost. Every mouthful of food they've ever received, God gave it to them. Every beat of their heart, God gave it to them. The air they breathe, God gave it to them. And He was expecting, though they may not trust Him as Savior, but at least they could acknowledge their gratitude for what He'd done for them. And isn't it a shame that we who know Christ so often, we get where we're not thankful. We may get to where we're covetous, or we want more than what we really need, or we have jealousy about others who have more than we have, or whatever. But I'm dealing these few days in this month about things that we ought to be thankful for. I started to say this is a little bit unusual message, but I have so many unusual messages. A regular message might be unusual, and these might be normal. But I hope you'll listen and understand that the Holy Ghost of God led me this morning. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 3. Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, says this, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Would you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for giving your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that we know you love us and that you hear us and that your eyes are upon this place and your ears are open to prayer that's made in this place. And God, you've given us so many wonderful things. Thank you for this great group of people here this morning, for the hundreds that are watching us on the internet and other means this morning. We thank you for the radio audience. And I pray, God, the Holy Spirit right now, God, to speak to our hearts. You are the great God. You fashioned and created everything. And everything we are and everything we have and everything we will ever have comes from the hand of a gracious, sovereign God. And we acknowledge that. We are nothing. We are a speck of dust in this vast universe. But that you loved us so much, you gave your only begotten Son that we might have everlasting life. You prepared for us a place called heaven beyond human description. And give promise to us a life of blessing and joy and perfect health for all eternity through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God, help us to be thankful for all things. And God, we'll give you praise and honor and glory. Lord, I want to bow before you and acknowledge that there's no good thing in me. But God, you're able. God, you've been so good to me. Forgive me for those times that I was not grateful or that I was neglectful to give you thanks. And I'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You and I ought to be thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be thankful for God Himself. But as I've gone through and looked at the life of Paul, Paul was thankful for something else. He was thankful for people. How often are you thankful for people that God puts in your life? God's put people in my life, in your life, in all different avenues of life. God's put people in our life. Notice, if you will, just hold your place in Philippians. But this Paul was a humble man. He was a powerful man. He was a bold man, but he was a thankful man. He was, if Paul came into this assembly, his humility, his physical appearance would not cause him to stand out in any way. You wouldn't realize that he wrote 13 books of the Bible. He considered him a servant. He considered himself to be chief of sinners. But one thing you'd notice about him, he would be extremely thankful for everything God's given to him. And in this particular passage, he's thankful for people. He's thankful for the church at Philippi. But turn in your Bible. This is not a one-time occasion for him. The next little book I want you to just turn over is in the book of Colossians, chapter 1 and verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you always. He thanked God for the church at Colossae. Going over to the book of 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians in chapter 1 and in verse number 2, he makes this statement. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. He's thankful for people. This is not just some religious talk. It's just not something that he says out of routine. It's really in his heart. He's extremely thankful for people. In 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1 and verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. I would read the rest of it, but the emphasis is this. He said, I just have to thank God for you. And he was so thankful for the church at Thessalonica. He writes to young Timothy in chapter number 2. He's writing to an individual here. And listen to what he says. The message, of course, is for the church in general, but he's writing to young Timothy. And he says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, I thank God, whom I serve with my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. What a blessed privilege for this young preacher to know that the great Apostle Paul loves me and he thinks about me and he prays for me all the time. And then over to the little bitty book of Philemon in chapter one, it's only one chapter, but look at verse number 4 in the little book of Philemon. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. He's writing to one man specifically, and he said, I want to thank God for you, and I want you to know I pray for you all the time. If you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, you'll find he addresses that church at Corinth the same way. And man, they had all kind of problems. They were infighters. They were criticizers. Remember he said something to them, but while you backbite one another, please don't eat one another in the process. And they had all kind of things, incest going on in the church and everything. They were a mess in a lot of ways. But he loved them with all of his heart. And he said, I'm thankful for you. I thank God for you. You and I ought to be thankful. You think about all the people that God's put in your life. God's blessed us so many ways. Think about all the people that took care of you when you were little and that you couldn't take care of yourself. And all those people, my dear friend, that God throughout these years, the ones who've taught you in school, most of you could not read nor write had it not been for a faithful teacher in kindergarten. Because when I started school, we didn't have kindergarten, but some of you remember those days. But we could read or write if somebody had not felt a calling on their life to be a teacher. When have you thanked God for your teachers? When have you thanked God for your elementary school teachers and your mid-school teachers and your high school teachers? Thank God for those who've taught you, for those who've taken care of you. Thank God for those who've motivated you and challenged you and encouraged you. Thank God for those who've prayed for you. Thank God for those who led you to Christ. Thank God for those who lived a godly example around you. Thank God for those who've given to you special gifts or special things or other things that have helped you and blessed you. Thank God for all those who love you, for those who have corrected you, for those who have protected you and watched over you and cared for you, for those who have fed you. I see the sign, and I don't take it lightly, and I don't think it's just a trite statement, but I go up and down the road, and I see a billboard that said, if you've eaten today, you think a farmer. You think about that. Very few of us have gardens anymore, certainly not enough to sustain us for a whole year. But we are able to go to a grocery store somewhere and buy food almost at any time we want to, as much as we want to. And how long has it been since you thank God for farmers and thank God for those who raise the livestock? Thank God for them. Paul was a thankful man. I don't want to be ungrateful about anything, but Paul said we ought to learn, and his example was we need to learn to be thankful for people. Don't take people for granted. They are so important in our life. God has blessed us with good air to breathe, good water to drink, and he's blessed us with food. But he's blessed us with people, so many people all around us. And as I was just thinking on this thought in my own heart devotionally, and then God kind of burdened me to put it in a message to share with you, I thought about all those who have blessed me and helped me and those who have consoled me when I was grieving, those who prayed for me when I was sick, those who have laughed with me when I was happy, those who mourned with me when I was sad. I think about that. My good friend, Brother Adrian Moore, up in near Danville, Virginia, in Providence, North Carolina, just did the funeral for his own daddy. And what he did, he had written down a lot of old sayings or things that his daddy always said to him when he was growing up that made an impression on him. And so what he did the whole funeral service was to go through and quote his daddy, words that his daddy had said to him as a young boy, as a teenager, and as a young man, and as a pastor that stuck. But I really like this. I got him to give me a list of all those things. And his daddy said this, you can learn a lot from, a lot of people, even those, even if it's just to learn what not to do. I like that one. You can learn from everybody you meet, it says. I don't want to misquote him. You can learn from everybody you meet, even if it's just not what to do. I'm thankful for my mother. Most all of you have a mother. Thank God for your mother. God gave me a godly mother. She loved me. I was thinking about over my childhood, we had friends and folk in our community and everything else. We lived out, you know, just like everybody else in those days, dirt road, rural house, four bedroom house, and a path at that time. Later, we did add a bathroom. Daddy added a bathroom later. But they were good people. But I don't remember any of those having any kind of spiritual influence on me. The first person that ever influenced me spiritually was my mother. She read the Bible to me and she talked to me about the Lord. She pointed me to Christ. And I thank God for my mother. I think about folk who their mother's gone on to be with the Lord like mine has. And often I think about her. I used to call my mama every Sunday morning before I'd go to church. And for several weeks after she died, I'd find myself walking into the kitchen and picking up the phone only to hang it back up. I'd have been in such a routine of calling her and thanking her for what she'd done in my life and how she'd blessed me. There was a dear lady in our community named Claire Mae Wheeler. My mama started working in a cotton mill when she was just a little girl. She worked 48 years in a cotton mill. When she first started working, she had a wooden Coca-Cola crate she had to drag so she'd get up to work the looms where she was a weaver at. She said some of her and the other little girls would play Jack Rocks during the break time. That was before the age of child labor laws. But when Mama was working, there was a lady named Clara Mae Wheeler that kept me. I don't remember her talking to me any about the Lord, but I remember how kind she was to me. She didn't feel like I was a burden to her. She treated me like I was her own child. She didn't have any education, but she was just a wonderful lady. She'd make tomato sandwiches. I'm going to tell you, I think about them. I don't know how many times. I know it's the same, but somehow or another, the bread tasted different then. The tomatoes tasted different than the mayonnaise. And to a little boy, a glass of sweet tea and a tomato sandwich is like steak, praise God. I can remember, here I am standing here, 74 years old, and my mouth is watering for one of those tomato sandwiches. She'd cook an egg. I never known anybody could cook an egg like she did. I don't know if she swam it in hot lard or what, but the white on that would be about a quarter of an inch thick, and it'd be seasoned just right with salt and pepper, and the white was as good as the yolk, but she could fry the best eggs. I thank God for her. God put her in my heart and life. I don't know how long it's been since I thought about her until this last week, but I went back and I thank God for her. When I was a boy growing up, just a little fella, my daddy had some friends. My daddy was not saved, never did get saved, as far as I know, unless he got saved on his deathbed. But he had some good friends that would come by. One of those men was a Christian man. His name was Mr. Hasty. He was a mailman in our community, and he was a good man. When I was in the Boy Scouts, I went to his pastor, and one of the things I did to pass a merit badge was I had to go to that pastor and do some things. But at any rate, Mr. Hasty always encouraged me. He always took time to speak to me, always there. He was always in a hurry. Brother Richard said to me at Walmart the other day, he said, "You're always in a hurry." Well, Mr. Hasty was in a hurry. When he said bye, the door slammed. He was gone. I mean, he didn't say, "I'll see you later," and talk 30 more minutes. But he was always that way. But I remember him so well. He was just a good man. I mean, just, I marveled at him. My daddy had a violent temper. My daddy would use profanity. I never one time heard Mr. Hasty cuss. And as a little bitty fella, that made a difference in my life, how kind he was and how he spoke to me. I'm so thankful for the Mr. Hasties in the world that don't know you and don't owe you anything, but they give you time and give you love and they give you consideration. When I was born, both my grandparents on both sides were already dead. But I had a grandma. Her name was Grandma Vic. I did not know until I was early teens that she wasn't my real grandma. She wasn't even kin to the family. But we'd go over there when I just right after I'd been born, right on up until she passed away. And we just called her Grandma Vic. And that dear lady was so wonderful. I mean, she loved us, and she'd see us coming, and she'd hug us just like Regina does our grandkids, just like I do the grandkids. And I wasn't her natural child, her natural grandchild, but she loved me like I was her grandchild, and I always called her Grandma Vic. I remember she gave me a cowboy suit one time that had belonged to her son, and she'd kept it over the years. He was grown by then, but it was real genuine leather. And in certain places on the chaps, it still had the hair on it. I mean, I wished I had them now. They'd be worth something. But all of that, and I never had anything like that as a little boy. I never had anything that was, I thought, so wonderful. But she just gave it to me. And I thought, wow. And I thought about that. So many years I thought about her kindness. My brother Howard is next to me. He's 7 years older than I am. And Howard, we interacted some because he was still at home. But Howard always encouraged me. He went off to the and joined the Army, and he'd come back, and he'd always encouraged me, motivated me, and wanted me to do well in school, wanted me to go to West Point at some point in time. But I thank him. My sister Jean was a blessing to my heart and still is. She calls me often and checks on me, and she's 80-something years old now. But all these years, she's been a blessing to me. When I was a boy growing up, Daddy didn't go to church and Mama couldn't drive. We went to the Church of God for several years. I don't remember anything much about it. I don't remember any names there as a little fella. I mean, I was little. But I can remember this, how kind those people were. I can remember how happy a place that was. Quite often it wasn't real happy where I was at sometime. My daddy did drink some, and some of his friends drank. But at that church, it was a happy place. I mean, it was a blessing to be there, and I just remember that. I want to thank God for that little, it was a church of God that we went to. They had a little bus, and me and Mama rode the bus. And then at some point in time, she got right down not so terribly far from where we lived. That was a little Baptist mission called Calvary Baptist Church. They would meet in a little small building when we first started going. And Mama would get somebody to take us, and occasionally Daddy would take us and drop us all. And just as a little feller, I remember my Sunday school teachers. I've told you before about Miss Christenberry. Just as we were young boys, I don't think we were in junior age, but one Sunday morning she taught the Word of God so faithfully all those years, and I was just so blessed by her. She just loved, you just feel the love of God, and she taught me about Jesus. She's the first one outside of my mama that talked to me about Jesus. One Sunday morning we were cutting up, and she broke down and began to cry and went off to a side room over there. And in that side room, me and the boys sat there. We didn't know what to do. In a few minutes, I got up, and the rest of them got up. We went in there, and she was crying. And I just kind of put my arm around her, and I said, "Miss Christenberry, are you all right?" And she said, "I'm such a failure. I'm such a failure." And she said, "I pray for you boys, and I try to serve the Bible, but I'm such a failure. I can't even get you to listen to me." And I just a little fella, but I remember like yesterday, and I said, "Miss Christenberry, it's not your fault. It's our fault. We're so sorry." Oh, listen here, 74 years old. I was just a little bitty fella in Sunday school. But here's a lady who had a broken heart for me and cried over me and prayed over me. I want to thank God. I probably wouldn't even be here right now if it had not been for the prayers of my mama and of that dear lady who loved me and prayed for me. I could go on and name names. Regina and I were married there, and we were members of that church as it had grown quite a bit. And so many of those young, those ladies were old ladies when we were there as a couple. But there were so many. Miss Clara Garris was one. My best friend growing up was a boy named Billy White. And his mama, she was a real faithful member of Calvary Baptist Church. She was always so kind. I don't know how many days I've spent time at their house and nights over there as well. But she always was Christian. She always was kind to me. Oh, I thank God for her influence in my life and how God blessed me. There were men in that church that took me in. My daddy has never played a game of ball with me. I have pictures of him where he won pitching. He was in fast pitch softball in those days, and they won some sort of national championship. But not one day did daddy ever throw me a ball to hit. I don't understand why. I don't know what was going on or what. But at any rate, there was a man named Loomis Gordon who picked me up day after day and took me to practice baseball and spend time. I'm thankful. You got anybody in your heart that you forgot about? Paul didn't forget them. He said, "Upon every remembrance, I thank God for you." And, oh, listen, think about it. How many men, young men in your life, older men in your life, when you were growing up, had an influence on you? And that church we attended, I was just going. I just went because Mama went, and I felt the presence of God, and I knew God was dealing. But we had a young preacher to come. His name was Ted James. Ted James wasn't like some of the other pastors we'd had. He was more like a real person. You know, the other ones, it was kind of like men, women, and preachers. Preachers were something completely different. But Ted James was like a real man. I mean, he loved to hunt. He loved to fish. He'd take us boys, and we'd go hiking, and we'd go camping, and he talked to us about the Lord. And he made Jesus just as real in the woods and on the rivers as he did at the church. That got a hold of my heart. We had a revival. I don't remember the evangelist's name, but God dealt with my heart one night. The next day, Ted James and the evangelist came to my mama's house, and Mama sent me out in the yard to play when they pulled up. Somehow in my heart, I knew they hadn't come to see Mama. They came to see me. And they came out of that house just a few minutes in the house, came out the front yard, and Brother Craig and Trudy, her mama, gave us the glider. And Craig, man, just it's first class. And y'all remember camp meeting when they gave it to me. They came, and Ted James on one side and that evangelist on the other. And I was sitting in that little recliner of Mama's, and they told me how much Jesus loved me as a little boy in a cotton mill town in North Carolina living on a dirt road. Didn't even have a bathroom in the house. And God made himself real to me that day. and I trusted Christ. I want to thank God for Ted James. I don't remember the evangelist's name, but I want to thank God for the Holy Ghost of God, the man who led me to Christ. My pastor after that, when we, Regina and I were, before we were married and then after we were married, was Earl Shotwell. He was such a blessing to me. Brother Earl helped me in so many ways. And when God called me to preach just a month or two after that, they asked me if I would be willing to serve as assistant pastor. And I served assistant pastor for $50 a week at that church. And down the road was another church, Brother Rudolph Evans. That man of God was a blessing to me. He encouraged me. The pastor of the First Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids. And his name eluded me when I was thinking about this through the week, and I still can't remember his name, but I know it as well as I know my own. But he came to me one time after I had surrendered to preach, and I was going to Lewisburg Junior College, and he made a statement to me, and I said it was convenient to go there, and it was. I believe it was in God's plan. He had thought I should have went somewhere like Bob Jones or somewhere like that, one of the big Bible colleges. And he made this statement to me. He said, never off of the future on the altar of expediency. Never off of the future on the altar of expediency. I had just surrendered to preach. Regina would probably tell you I was 19, 20 years old, I guess. But I never forgot that statement. You don't offer the future on the altar of expediency. Sunday school teachers through the years have been a blessing to me, but my school teachers have been a blessing to me. I won't go back through and talk about all of them, but Zeb Denny was my high school English teacher. I don't know if he's a Christian or not. Never asked him, never talked to him about it, but he was Christian-like. But he encouraged me. I mean, he, more than any other teacher in my high school, he encouraged me. We'd write poems and everything, and he said, Billy, he said, you ought to pursue a career in writing. You ought to do that. And he just took time to speak to me, encourage me, and give me things that were help. I thank God for him. Whenever God got hold of me and Regina after we were married, we rededicated our life to the Lord. I got real active in the church there. At the plant where I had worked at, or was working at the time, there was a man named Ed from down in South Carolina. He was a Christian man on fire for the Lord. He'll never know what a blessing he was in my heart and life. He witnessed to people all over that plant, and because of him, God gave me boldness, and I began to witness. And before I left there, 14 of my coworkers had trusted Christ as Savior and Lord. But it was that man who encouraged me. It was that man who blessed me and challenged me. My first pastorate was over a place called Micro Parish Memorial Baptist Church. I had served a year at my home church as assistant pastor, and during that part of that year, I was interim at First Baptist Church of Littleton. But right down here in Johnson County was the first church I pastored. I could go through and list name after name after name. But we were only there a year, a little over a year. But God bonded our heart, so many wonderful people in that church. I was just a boy preacher, didn't know anything, thought I knew everything. But they were patient with me and loved me. God will never know. I mean, I'll never know until we get to be with the Lord. And these people will never know what a blessing Walt Peden was to me. Arthur Starling. Bob Braswell, Arby Bass, Mr. and Ms. Rayner, that's Gay's mom and daddy. God has blessed me with people all of my life. From there, we went to Tennessee Temple Schools, and I met many, many great preachers. Brother Eddie Goddard was there earlier than me, but he became a wonderful friend from the time we met him to the time he died a few years ago. So many preachers I met there. I heard every great preacher in America at Tennessee Temple. I got to talk with them personally, many of them. I got to know them. Dr. J. Harold Smith preached there. Then when I was pastor in Pensacola, Florida, I had him to come and preach. We had such a wonderful time with Dr. Smith. While I was in Florida, God put a lot of people in my life. Brother Roy Rigdon, who is my greatest fan and greatest critic all at the same time. Brother Mike Parker. Brother Mays Jackson, Billy Kelly, so many other wonderful preachers. Actually, I was in Florida when I met Ralph Sexton Sr., Brother Ralph Jr.'s daddy. I actually met Ralph down there. He had just been called to preach, just surrendered. He was working with the youth at Trinity Baptist Church. Now he stepped down as pastor, becoming pastor emeritus of that great church in Trinity. But these men have all been a blessing to me, probably Brother Avery more than any others, because he was such a blessing in my life. And then I couldn't begin to tell you the places I've been, the preachers I've met, the folk I've met, these churches I go preaching revival. All those preachers become friends of mine. The people become friends of mine. As I've gone back to some of these churches over the years, they just act like they're so excited about me getting there. And I know I'm nothing special, but they act like they love me. And I think they don't act like they do love me. And their preachers love me. And God's, they encourage my heart. They tell me I'm praying. And back when you were praying so hard and all the times that I've almost died over the last few years, I got cards and letters from people across America that loved me and prayed for me. God put a lot of people in my life. And now here I am at Benson Grove, over almost 24 years now. I would not begin this morning to try to tell you what a blessing you are to me. I could go through and name family after family, person after person, man, woman. Not one family in this church has not been a blessing to me. Not one person in this church has not had something special. We not always agree, but Regina and I will be married 56 years in December, and you're not going to believe this. We've not always agreed on everything. But we love one another, and we work through things. That's what Christians do. That's why Paul said, forgive one another. You know why he said that? Because there'd be reason for you to forgive somebody. People do things you don't like. They'll do things they ought not to do. I've done both of those. But God's given me some good friends. I'd have to say that God has blessed me more here than anywhere I've ever been, although I've been blessed throughout all these years. But I have so many wonderful friends here. I have men in this church. I don't want to call names, but I've shared with them things, and there are some men in this church that know things about me that none of you know. And God knows my heart. I've shared with them burdens and cares, and they've prayed, and they've not gossiped and told everybody around the world. And God has blessed me. So many wonderful friends here in this place. I can't begin to tell you. And since I've been back in North Carolina, I passed up Marysville 7 years and been here now, 10 years there, I'm sorry. And then 24 here. Dr. Bobby Robertson, who's now in heaven, became a close friend of mine and pastored a great church of about 4,000 or 5,000. And I pastored a small country church, but he treated me just like we were brothers, and I loved him. So many good men, godly men, so many preachers God's put in my life. You know, many of them, most of them come to camp meeting. I won't go through and list all of them, but Dr. Bobby Carden is a wonderful friend. Brother Tom Wagner, since I've been in this area, Brother Jesse Brock, all these preachers I preach for in revival, they all become my brothers, and I love them in the Lord. I can't go through and tell you again how much I appreciate everybody in this building, how much those in the internet mean to me. I'm so thankful for the people God put in my life. I'm thankful. And most of all, I guess, outside the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm thankful for my wife. It'll be 56 years in December, like I said. And all these years, I've drug her from pillar to post. Every time we'd build a pretty nice house, and the church, when I was in Pensacola, the church built us a house, just built a house for us to live in. And we didn't stay in that hardly a year before I loaded up stuff in a stock trailer and went somewhere else that I felt like God wanted me to go. And she's never killed me yet. She's never left me yet. She's loved me through all this, all the mistakes I've made and all the trouble I've done and everything else. All the sickness I've had, she's the one who stood right there with me and by me. She's always been my best friend. And I love her and all my children and all my grandchildren. It's kind of a joke among some of the old ones because we got the little ones now. They have a group, they have a phone group, and they call themselves the Forgotten Grandchildren because our attention is on the little ones. So that's what I figured out anyhow last night. But they know that's not so. They're the joy of my life, my wife's life. We love the grandchildren and our great-grandbaby. Love her. God's been good to me. He's put people in my life. Listen, let me tell you something. You need to love them while you can. Be careful what you say, because a little 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old child, when he's 74 years old, he'll remember what you say to him. I hadn't made it a habit, just something I tried to do as a preacher, just something just in my heart. I'd rather talk to a child than an adult. And please forgive me, but if I'm talking to you and a child comes by and says, hey, preacher, I'll stop and talk to him or her because they're special. And they'll be influenced. And one of these days, they said, we used to have a preacher who loved me. When I was just a little kid, he loved me. You love them while you can. Try to be a blessing to all that you know. Pray for them. Thank God for them. Paul said, I remember you. I sat down and did this. Please forgive me if you just bored to death this morning. But what I shared with you is a personal devotion. It's what I wrote down because this was in my heart, and it turned out to be a message to share with you. As I went through and thought back my life, as I read what Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I try to remember those people. So many I didn't remember. I couldn't remember their names, but I remember what they did. And here's my question to you this morning. Are you somebody that others are thankful for? Are you a giver or are you a taker? Do you care more about others than you care about yourself? Do you show love with your time and your speech and your concern and your compassion? Do you show Christ's love to them and share Christ with them in the gospel? Do you give to Christians encouraging words and try to be a blessing to them? I drew a little outline out of Paul's life. I'm not going to preach to you. Time's gone, long since gone. But I can tell you this about Paul. His thanksgiving came because of one reason. God changed his life. He met the Lord Jesus Christ that day on the road to Damascus. God changed him completely. He took away all the hatred and bitterness for Christians and for the church and filled it with the love of God. He loved people. What he did was not for show or for popularity or for reward of man, but it was genuine and real. You need to be that way. I need to be that way. He remembered people on purpose. He planned to remember it. He took time to think about them. We get so self-absorbed, we think about all of our problems and our sickness and our needs and how people have been mean to us and unkind to us and said unkind things. And we forget about all the thousands of people that God put in our life that are a blessing to us. And he on purpose remembered them. And then this last thought, Brother Brad, I'll be ready. Paul is writing to somebody who is alive. Somebody touched him. A good many of the people I've talked to you about this morning are in heaven now. Regina and I always marvel about how many people that God's let us know and have been a blessing to us that are in heaven. I can't begin to tell you in this church when I think about it. I get to think about over the years. I've been thinking about Dallas Porter a lot lately. And I think about him. I thought about Walt. All you guys remember Walt Hudson and his wife Pat. Both of them's in heaven. I don't know why. I got to think about Walt the other day. I think about all of them. I think about those who were young and those who were old. But they were my friends. They were people God blessed me with to be in my life. But I think it's really important for me and you not only to remember them, but Paul said, when I remember, he's writing to somebody, he said, I just want you to know I've been thinking about you and I love you. I want to remind you that Paul took opportunity while he could to tell them that I love you and thank God for you. I'm going to ask you as a church for the next few weeks before Thanksgiving, make every effort you can to contact people that have touched your life and been a blessing to you. People are wore out with COVID, all the concerns, all the heartache, all the sickness, the depression that's going across our nation is devastating. Suicide rates are alarming. And because people feel such a sense of frustration, nothing they can do and everything's out of their control. But one reason is this, they feel alone. You'll be a blessing to somebody if you call everybody you know or contact everybody you know or write a card. I'm thankful how good people are here to call me and contact me, and I appreciate that. We got two wonderful cards on yesterday, and I tried to respond to them about 11 o'clock last night, but that's kind of the way I do things. We're up real late a lot of times. But I want to just tell you this. I'm thankful for every one of you. And if you don't know Christ, you cannot be thankful like you ought to. If you come to know Christ, you can thank Him for saving you, but you'll thank God for all the people around you. And if you're not saved today, I invite you to trust Christ. I hadn't preached the gospel as such. I've just tried to mind the Holy Ghost. But I want to invite you and encourage you to touch lives for Jesus this next few weeks and just tell them how much you love them, how much you appreciate them. I asked Brad last night late if he could find a song for me and play it for you. If you listen to Southern gospel music, you've heard it. But I want to remind you, Paul was writing to a friend in all those other churches where he said, I want you to know that I'm thankful for you and I thank God for you. You better do it while you can. Listen to the song, listen prayerfully, and I'll come back and we'll close the service.
Got the call this morning. I can't believe he's gone. Thought he'd be here forever. But one more time proved me wrong. It was just a week ago. Thought I should call and say hello. Now I'm reminded once again, life's a vapor in the wind. Love the people that God gives you. They're a gift that heaven sends. Live and laugh and make some memories. Treasure every moment spent. 'Cause none of us are here forever. That's a proven fact. Love the people that God gives you. 'Cause one day he'll want them back. Each day the mirror tells the story. I wonder where the time has gone. Children laughing round the table now have children of their own. There may be things you need to say, so while today is still today, you have the chance to hold them close. One more chance to let them know. Love the people that God gives you. There are gifts that heaven sends. Live and laugh and make some memories. Treasure every moment spent. 'Cause none of us are here forever. That's a proven fact. Love the people that God gives you. 'Cause one day He'll want them back. Oh, and the list keeps getting longer. Friends and family that I miss. But when I think of what matters most, it all comes down to this.
none of us are here forever. And that's a proven fact. Just love the people that God gives you, 'cause one day He'll want them back. Love the people that God gives you, 'cause one day He'll want them back.
You stand with your heads bowed, everyone with your heads bowed. Thank God for that. Amen. And Matthew, I think I'll get you to cue that song again. We're not in a hurry. Maybe standing right where you are, but maybe you want to come around the front somewhere around the altar. This is Thanksgiving month. I want you to thank God for the people He's given you in your life, and then you express that gratitude to them. I invite you to come this morning if you don't know Christ. If you feel like God's leading you to unite with this church, we invite you to come. If you have a burden or need, there are people here who love you and pray with you. I know the social distance thing. If we can help you, we want to do it. While we're praying right now, I invite you to respond and come. In any way God leads you to come. If you need to know Christ, Brad's here, Tim's here, Justin's here. These people to help you, ladies who'll pray with the ladies. Listen to the song, but I invite you to come right now. And I'll speak to you again in a moment. Listen, obey Christ. If you need to come, come on right now. God impressed your heart, reminded your folk. Neither were they thankful. God took note of that. I must be thankful for the people God puts in my life.